It is so good to be back with you and to have the opportunity to study God's Word together. I invite you this morning to turn to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to be getting there in just a few moments, and then we'll be looking at some things in Matthew chapter 6 as well. But I'd like to begin by asking you a question. Have you ever noticed how problems grow? Problems get more complex. When a problem first arises, we might not even realize or be aware that there is a problem. As time passes, the problem becomes more evident, and eventually it may be made known to us. The problem may continue to grow and begin to creep into other areas of life, such as a problem at work that is carried over into home life. Or else we may see the same problem from other parts of life. We might see the same problem at home that we have at work, yet the two are not connected to one another. Problems get more numerous as time goes forward. When a problem is not dealt with, that problem can cause other problems. Or one problem might lead you to discover another problem, even if the first did not cause the second. Problems get misunderstood as problems grow more complex and multiply. The real problem might become misunderstood. And when a solution is thought to be an answer, but it doesn't solve the problem, the solution or the problem might have been misunderstood. The more solutions then that we apply to a problem without successfully alleviating the adverse effects of the problem, the more misunderstood the problem can become. Problems therefore get more complicated. All of these things. The fact that problems make themselves known and become more aware, the fact that they grow more complex, they get more numerous, they get misunderstood, it all adds up to them becoming more complicated. And the complications add to the difficulty of solving these problems. As problems add up, the original problem may become so deeply covered with the add-ons that the original problem is forgotten. But know this, problems get solved when they get worked on. Problems get solved when they get worked on. The rich young ruler needed to work on his relationship with his possessions. Read with me again Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher," New King James Version, I believe, said, "good teacher." Mark and Luke do have "good teacher." "What good thing shall I do that I may obtain or inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." That's what you must do. Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This rich young ruler, a name of which is derived by the various descriptive terms given in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are combined together to arrive at this man being a rich young ruler. And he wanted to know the one thing that he could do to ensure eternal life. He wanted to know which commandments weighed more, which ones were more important. Jesus stated 5 of the 10 commandments and then added one from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. 4 of the commands which Jesus gave are stated in the negative context. 2 of them were presented positively. He said, "You shall not commit murder, commit adultery, steal, or bear false witness. You shall honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." There were some things not to be done, and there were some things that were to be done. This rich young ruler believed that he had kept these from his youth up, Mark and Luke add, but he still lacked something. But the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking?" What is it I need to work on? What is it that I need to do or avoid doing that will ensure eternal life? Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete," that is, mature, "go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Mark chapter 10 and verse 21 points out that Jesus felt a love for this man. And so Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, if you want to be mature, if you want to be and be assured of eternal life, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. Jesus said, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Luke's account says that the man became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Matthew 19, verse 22, "But when the man, young man, heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." The rich young ruler needed to work on his relationship with his possessions. And he may have also needed to work on his giving. It was the one thing that seemed to keep him separated from ensuring eternal life. He had done the things which Jesus brought to his attention. He had honored his father and mother, or at least he believed he had, and Jesus did not correct him. And he believed that he had loved his neighbor as himself. He also believed that he had not done the things that he was in charge with not doing. He had not committed murder. He had not committed adultery. He did not steal. He did not bear false witness. But yet this rich young ruler lacked having eternal life because of one thing. One thing which he needed to work on. Continue reading in verse 23. "And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Do you hear a problem? "Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." That's a problem. And the disciples recognize it as such. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" There's a problem. And we can't figure out the solution to it. Who then can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The problem for the rich man entering the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is that it's hard. It's hard because it's so easy to put our confidence and trust in our possessions, in the things we possess, the things that we control. And when the rich young man relies upon himself, it is impossible for him to enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. But with God, all things are possible. The solution to all of our problems is the same. The solution to all problems is God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus presents models for man concerning his giving, his prayer life, fasting, treasures, and trust, specifically in Matthew chapter 6. There Jesus talked about giving and that our giving is to be sincerely and secretly, and then we will be rewarded openly. Jesus talked about praying and that one should pray from the heart and that one should pray in private with the right understanding and the right attitude and the right respect for God and for the avenue of prayer. And then He even gives us a model. He gives us an example of how we are to pray. He talked about fasting and how that hypocrites fast. But in their hypocrisy, they're doing it with the wrong motivation. They're doing it with the wrong reason in mind. And so Jesus instructs us to fast, but to do it in humility. He talked about treasures, and that there are treasures that are insecure, treasures that are corruptible, treasures that will be destroyed, and there are other treasures which are secure, that are incorruptible, and these treasures are the ones that are laid up in heaven. Jesus told His disciples then not to worry about food or drink or clothes, for life consists of more than these things. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, begin reading in verse number 31. Jesus said, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things." Working on the wrong pursuits makes us like the Gentiles. The wrong pursuits will keep us tied up so much that we will not have time for God, for His principles, or His kingdom. And so Jesus says, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these things, because they will keep you tied up and keep you from seeking after God. And so the question is, what are you working on? What are you working on? Are you working on trivial pursuits? Are you working on trying to get your life all together, quote unquote? Are you working on meeting all your family's needs? Are you trying to solve your problems on your own? With people, this is impossible. If you're working on trivial pursuits, once you get one solved or one completed, there's going to be another or more than one that springs up. So there will always be more pursuits for you to go after. If you're trying to get your life all together before coming to follow Christ, you'll never follow Christ, because you, of your own ability and own will never get your life completely together. Are you working on trying to meet all your family's needs now or in the future, maybe planning for when you're no longer with them? All it takes is but one moment, one bad decision, one mistake, one event that was unplanned for, to wreck an entire life's worth of saving, an entire life's worth of preparation. Then will where you be. Are you trying to solve your own problems on your own? With people, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so Jesus puts forth this invitation. He puts forth an invitation, first of all, to accept that your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows that you need these things that are trivial pursuits, the things we want but we really don't need. God knows that we want them. God knows that we want to have our life together, and we want to present ourselves before others as understanding life and having a successful life and living the abundant life. And He knows how we are to get those things. He knows that we want our family to have security, to have peace of mind, to be protected, to have what they need now and when we're gone. He knows that we want to solve our problems. He knows all of these things. And Jesus says, accept that your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. His invitation continues then to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, the problem for the rich young ruler was not in the things he had done or the things he had not done. The problem was not in his honoring his father and mother or loving his neighbor. His problem was not in his committing of murder or adultery or stealing or bearing false witness. His one problem was in his relationship with his possessions. And that one problem was keeping him from eternal life. And it was the one problem that he was not willing to work on. His relationship with his possessions was the one thing that he needed to work on. But the question is what is the one thing you need to work on? What's the one thing I need to work on? Maybe looking at Matthew chapter 6, giving is not your problem. Maybe instead of giving being your problem is that you're not giving to God or you're not giving for God. Maybe your problem is not your prayer life, or maybe it is. But if it's not your problem, maybe your problem is in your understanding or your attitude or your respect toward God. The reason you fast could be a problem. The way you fast could be a problem. The result of your fasting could be a problem. The lack of fasting as a discipline in your life could be a problem. Where you store your treasures up can be a problem. The decay of your treasures can be a problem. Where your heart is can be a problem. What you see with your eyes and how you see may be a problem. Trying to serve two masters is a problem. Because Jesus declares that you must choose. You must choose between God and gold. You must choose between serving God and serving your pleasures. You must choose between seeking God first above all else and choosing anything else. If you choose anything else as your first pursuit in life, not all of your needs will be met. However, if you seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. The key to righteousness is the continuous seeking first of God's rule in the affairs of men and the doing of God's will. Thus, as a general principle, when we seek God's will and do what He wants done, food and clothing and shelter will be provided. Since God can take care of all these things, we should not be anxious or worry about them. Yet we have problems. We have problems. And it's the problems that we have that we're not working on that are the most disconcerting. What are you working on? Are you working on temporal concerns? Are you working on eternal matters? Are you focused on self and what you're able to do in solving problems? Or are you focused on God? Because focusing on self makes for more problems. And it makes those problems grow very complex, multiply in number, be misunderstood, and get more complicated the harder we try to solve them on our own. And so it's high time that we give the problems to God, who can not only solve those problems, but He can use us to solve those problems. Let Him deal with the concerns. Let Him bring about the solution. Let Him work through whom He wishes to bring about the greater good. Because God solved our greatest problem, that of sin, by sending His Son Jesus to die so that we could have forgiveness. And God wants to help every person with what matters most in life. The soul's condition and the soul's eternal destiny. He will help those who will seek Him, Hebrews 11, verse 6. He will help those who will believe in His Son, John 8, 24, and believe that He was sent by the Father. He will believe those who will repent of sins, Luke 13 and verse 3. He will help those who confess His Son, Matthew 10, verse 32. And He will help those who confess His Son, Jesus, by mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10. He will help those who will submit to His will and be baptized, Acts 22, verse 16. You see, God will go on helping those who will walk in the light, 1 John 1, verse 7 and verse 9. And so the question is what are we working on? What are we working on and how are we working on it? We need to stop trying to work on our own problems of our own accord and by our own ability and seek God's help, because God is the true problem solver. And a problem will be solved when we work on that problem with God. Put God's will, put God's kingdom and His righteousness first and foremost in your life, and see how it affects your problems. See if it doesn't diminish your problems. See if it doesn't help you to feel more secure that you have eternal life, that you are insured of that eternal life. One problem, one issue remained for the rich young ruler. And when it was made known what he needed to do, what he needed to work on, he became very sad and he went away grieving, because he wasn't willing to work on it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are you working on? What are you working on that you could ensure God's help to solve, to feel secure in your faith, to feel secure in your salvation? What is the one thing you need to work on that you know Jesus would point out in your life is the one thing separating you from eternal life? If it be your obedience to God this morning, why not come? Why not come and put Christ on in baptism to have your sins washed away? If it's sin that has entered into your life and you have allowed it to separate you from God yet again, why not come and be restored? If you're doing all the right things and you're leaving undone all the things that should not be done, what's the one thing you could be improving on that would bring you closer to God and ensure eternal life? Whatever it is, God can help you if you come to Him. Come to Him now.